If we were to have a natural disaster that struck, like a hurricane recently in the southern states, or an earthquake here, and you survive that disaster, what would be the first thing that you would be concerned about, looking for, once you realize that you were safe and had survived? I'm sure that for all of us, most of everyone would think of our family. It wouldn't be the house, it wouldn't be the furniture or the other belongings that we have. It would be for our wives, our children, to make sure that they are all okay. And rightly so. It just shows that the family is the most important thing in our lives. And as we come to the time of Thanksgiving, I think that we would all say that one of the greatest blessings that we have to be thankful for is our family. And God has placed us in several families, really, when we think about it. Much of that we don't have any real choice or control over. And yet it's such a blessing in our lives that we have our own immediate family. We have the extended families. We have the father's extended family, the mother's extended family. So family is such an important part of our lives. The quality of family life influences just about every other part of life that we live. And surveys time and again tell us that people, when asked the question, what is the thing that would makes us happy in life, and we turn to the family. And having good families is the thing that people mention more than anything else. I'd like for us to talk this morning about families, about the characteristics of healthy families. And it's interesting to me that you know, we have a lot of really fine organizations in our country that are dedicated to the research and encouragement of the family, and that they have done a lot of research and they've identified a number of these characteristics that are seen in healthy families. So by looking at those, I believe we can benefit, all of us can strengthen our families, find some things here that we could see as a way to strengthen our own families, which would be a wonderful thing. But as in looking at these, what I find is that they are all Bible-based principles that we find on these lists. Many of the family organizations that we have, I think, that are most concerned about the family tend to be biblically based, and because of the great concern that is there for the preservation of the family and the strengthening of the family in our society. People's lives depend so much as we grow up and develop in our personalities and our sense of well-being, that so much of that comes back to the family. So it's a valuable thing. I'd like for us to look at some of the main qualities that are characteristics that we see, and by looking at these traits, I think we can all see ways that we could work and improve perhaps our families and strengthen them as we come to this type of year. And I've chosen in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Gary, thank you for reading this passage this morning for us. And I'd like to begin that the first characteristic that I'd like to call attention is the the importance of the role model of parents in the lives of our own lives or the lives of our children, the important role that parents play in the life that we live, the life that a parent lives, and setting a model for children to observe in their life as children are growing up. So the first principle, the first key to having healthy families is that what your kids see you do as they grow up is what you'll likely see them do when they grow up. Now, what is it that your children see modeled, in other words, in your character? Do they see a mom and dad, for instance, who have a visible love for each other? Or it may be a single parent who has that love for her children or for his children. And developing and nurturing close friendships. See, that is something that children observe that and see that in their parents, and that stays with them and becomes what they want to build their lives on that principle and foundation also. Do they see truth and honesty and integrity in the actions of their parents? Do they know that your love for them is not based on just their performance or their grades in school, but it is a love for them of who they are and how you value them, each one of them? Do they have healthy examples that they see in our lives of solving problems, of dealing with life, the ups and downs of life, and being able to resolve those? And if there is conflicts that arise, to be able to resolve those conflicts in a peaceful, harmonious way. All of those things our children observe and as they are growing up in our homes and become such an importance of who they become. Do you appreciate their uniqueness and commend them and praise them and let them know that they are special, they are unique? And do you encourage a healthy showing of emotions in their lives as they are growing up? Well, why are these things so important in children? Because they become the basic skills that our children need to become healthy individuals and to develop healthy relationships in their lives as they reach adulthood and maturity. You know, it's possible you can feed your kids good food and you make sure they have nice clothing and when they get old enough you can see them maybe have a nice car or get a good education. But all of those things, it is possible that they would grow up and they would be well fed and well dressed and they drive a nice car, but they do not have a clue about how to have healthy relationships in life with people. So I believe that so much of that comes from the home and the family and the key role in that being the parents. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to again read those verses and call attention to the point that is made there in Deuteronomy 6. Moses talking with the children of Israel there about the precepts of God's law that he has given to them and how it is so important to love God with all of your hearts. And he says in verse 6, he says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you walk by the way, when you sit in your house, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates." Meaning that those principles of God, the laws of God, and the teachings of God that we find in the Bible, those things should be engraved not only on our hearts, but they should be such a prominent role of our daily lives in our homes that our children observe that it becomes ingrained into them. So we see that there are two types of instruction, actually, that he mentions here. There is a direct way of instruction, and that is what you would see, what you would tell your children. We talk to our children, we tell them, these are the things you should do, these are the things you should not do, teaching them right from wrong. But even more powerful than that, I believe, is what Moses is referring to here, that it's more the indirect teaching that we do. That comes from just their being able to see their parents, how they live, how we live our lives in our home. They see those things that God, loving God, is in our hearts. It is the center of our lives. And everything we do revolves around that. Our children are able to see that, and it has a profound effect in their hearts and in their lives. So the role that children play, or that parents play, the role model of parents, I believe is one of the keys to healthy families and healthy development of children. Our parents, I'm thankful my parents didn't just tell me to go to church. They took me to church, and all my brothers and sisters. And they didn't just tell us to read our Bible. They read the Bible with us. My mother and my dad both taught me the Bible and told me the stories of the Bible. And it was something that I saw them doing on a consistent basis in their lives. That affected me deeply in my life as I grew up, and my brothers and sisters. When I was wrong, they corrected me. When I needed discipline, they disciplined me. But they forgave me, and they encouraged me along the way and helped me to grow and helped me to develop. And they weren't perfect, and they made mistakes, as all parents do, but still, they allowed me to see that I was valued as a person, and I was loved, and they saw a potential that I was a unique person, and God had blessed them for me to be given to them. So those things were very important to me as I was growing up. Here is a quotation: that if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, she learns to fight. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, she learns to be patient. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with encouragement, she learns confidence. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, she learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance and friendship, she learns to find love in the world. So one of the first keys, then, is that what your kids see you do is what you're likely going to see them do when they grow up. Now, number two, family time is a top priority. The second key to building strong families is one of the simplest ones, but it's also one of the most difficult. We know that only a mom and dad who knows it's important, that it is important to be available to our children, to be there for our children when they need us. Healthy parents don't find time. they make time for their children and for their family. It's a priority in their life. Now, how do we do that? How do we make time? One way that we do it is we can set aside special times for them, make sure that there is going to be time for the family to do things together in fun, casual, enjoyable ways, and that is a consistent part of our life because we put that as a priority in our life. You know, children spell love differently than adults. Children spell love T-I-M-E, in other words. And they know the difference. That if they are loved, the way they translate that and receive that is through the time that their parents take to spend time with them. We see here that in Deuteronomy, I think Moses is alluding to that when he says, when you walk by the way, when you wake up, when you lie down, that you are talking with your children about God. But just in those casual moments that we have as we go through our days, we are given many opportunities. We have many opportunities to spend time with our children in meaningful ways that implant in their hearts the love of God. And the love of life, the love of family, the importance of relationships that they have to value those in your life. Jesus, I think, demonstrated the same thing, that many times Jesus was very busy and that he would be teaching the multitudes coming to him. And yet in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17 through 20, is an interesting example in Jesus' life where he was teaching in the house and healing the many people. And there was a man that had paralysis or palsy, and they brought him and they could not get in through the door. They went up on the roof and they took the tiles from the roof and they lowered him down, it says, on a bed or a pallet or something. But right here in the middle of the crowded room, Jesus, as he was teaching, what Jesus did was he stopped and took that as an opportunity of teaching, and it was powerful. What Jesus was able to explain and teach to the people in that moment. And we should be aware of those moments in our children's lives where we have the opportunity to talk with them and spend time with them and do things together as a family. It is a concrete, measurable expression of love that they will remember. To me, one of the things that was important when I was growing up, and Karen and I, we tried to implement that a lot with our children and our family, was family vacations together and going to national parks, going to a lot of different parts of our country, but taking a quality vacation together and being able to have that time where we were just together with our family and our children. That was a great experience that I will always treasure in my growing up years, and hopefully in our children, that is something that meant a lot to them. So family time should be a priority. And number three would be plenty of constructive communication should be taking place in our homes. A healthy home is where people make time to listen, ask questions, and nurture quality communication. You see, that members of strong families do spend a lot of time together, but they also spend time in conversation, that they make it a practice of talking with each other. That's important, that we engage in conversation with one another within our homes, within our families. We have to invest some time in that. We have to take the time to allow each other to express our feelings and our thoughts and our concerns. So that communication becomes the strength and the help within the family. The type of communication needs to be uplifting. It needs to be positive in building each other up, expressing appreciation to one another. Paul, in writing in the Ephesian letter, talks about that we should speak the truth in love, and that is true in the teaching of God's Word within the church as we study God's Word together. It's also important in our personal conversations that we have the choice of words and that we speak with one another. Later, he says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So those conversations that we have within our families are so important to the health and well-being of each child. Not only that, but learning to be good listeners means a lot of learning takes place because someone is listening to them. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 11, he said, "When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise, but when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge." There is an aspect to that of being a good listener, paying attention to one another, focusing on the conversation that is being spoken. And I know this is one area that many times we have so many distractions going on today that we tend to drift off the conversation when we're talking. And so it's something that we all need to work on, that being able to benefit from the conversation of the time, finding out how people are feeling, if there is a problem. A lot of communication, we are told also, is not just the words that you speak. It is also the tone of voice, the facial expression, the bodily language. Those things also are important to good communication that we are able to have with one another. So God teaches us the importance of that. There's a time to speak, but there's also a time to remain silent and let the other person speak and hear what they have to say. It's an expression of love, how you love others. You manifest that through being a good listener and expressing yourself in a way to how are you feeling, what are your thoughts, and finding out what the other person's thoughts are, so that it is everyone's voice is being heard and they are able to express how they feel without fear of repercussion from that. All right, number four, cultivating an encouraging environment. That goes a lot of maybe with what I was saying there a moment ago, but sincere appreciation is frequently expressed in healthy families. Not only to feel the appreciation that we have for each other, but to express it, to put it into words and let each other know that we appreciate one another. Husbands and wives, we need to do that both verbally and other ways. For example, Karen makes a nice dinner. I need to express that and make sure she understands. That's great. I appreciate that hard work that you put in. Thank you so much. But we express that appreciation through many different opportunities that we have to each other within the family, and especially with our children, with our spouse, and that they see that we have that appreciation to each member of the family. You know, I remember growing up that Roy Rogers and the song that they would sing on the Roy Rogers show was always "Home, Home on the Range." where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. That is a good thought for us to have within our families, that we don't give discouraging words, that we have encouraging environment that our children are able to grow up in. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, Paul there speaking to fathers, he says, children, it first starts with children, obey your parents in the Lord, said, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So he expresses that to be in a positive sense, building them up, expressing to them their value, praising them, encouragement to them. And the same within the marriage. In Colossians 3 and verse 22 and 23, or 21, he says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So giving sincere appreciation, all children need that, and avoiding the hurtful criticism. Sure, sometimes they need to be corrected. They need to be shown if their behavior needs correction. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do that, and to do it in an encouraging way and create an encouraging environment in our home. So sincere appreciation is frequently expressed in healthy homes. We read many verses in the Bible that speak about that we as Christians need to encourage one another. That same thing is important in our families, with our children, and with our spouses. So the last one that I want to mention this morning, number 5, is of course that we need to have a spiritual focus in our homes. When God established the home, He certainly built it upon a solid foundation. And I am so thankful the family, God's plan for the family is revealed to us in the Bible, because God has wisdom that man, we do not have that wisdom that God has. And He has revealed to us His plan for the family and for our lives as a whole in His Word. And His plan, of course, to save us and that we may have a home with Him, eternal life in heaven. But as we look at those things, we see that there needs to be a spiritual focus in our families. That the healthiest homes are godly homes built on a spiritual foundation with a spiritual focus that we have in our lives. So that healthy families, they share a commitment, a common faith in God and in Jesus Christ. That we believe as a family, we believe together and we all unite in our faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Savior, and He is the center of our homes. We want Him to be in our homes as we conduct our lives. So we are told in the book of Psalms here, in Psalm 127, if the Lord does not build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays up awake in vain. God is to be at the center then of our homes and our families. We need to pray together, we need to worship together, and we need to talk about spiritual matters as a family. And that is what the book of Deuteronomy is emphasizing here, that as we think about the laws of God, that those things are discussion in our homes on a regular basis. That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Some people, take scriptures and have them on the walls. They have scriptures that are uplifting, positive, to remind us throughout the day of our faith in God. So as we think about the family, and as we come to the Thanksgiving time of year, and we're all thankful for our families, it's good for us to reflect on how can we strengthen the family. And as we step back and think about, am I giving that type of encouragement and appreciation for my children? Am I spending the time with them to communicate with them, to hear, allow them to listen to their needs and how the struggles are that are going on in their lives? Do we have a healthy communication within our families? Healthy parents don't find time, they make time. And one of the most important things in the lives of our children is simply the role model that parents are playing. That parents are living a life of integrity, of love, of kindness. And our children grasp that and observe that daily, and it becomes a part of our lives. So we have, some of us have these, I forget the name of it, but when the wind blows, the chimes ring out. They're all hanging together on the back porch or on the hanger from the wall. When the wind very gently comes through, it chimes all of those together. I think that is much how our families work. That as we grow up, as we live together in our families, those gentle moments of faith and love that we share together, it is passed on into the lives of each member of the family. And that becomes who they are as they grow up to be adults. So God's family blessing is such a blessing in our lives. Today, if you're here and are receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to invite you this morning to think of your commitment to the Lord and your desire to commit your life to Him. And it begins with our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. And tells us that we need to repent of our sins. That unless we repent, He says, we will perish. We will all likewise perish. We need to confess our faith in Jesus. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, the Bible says, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. As Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Once we're baptized, we begin a new life in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We're added to the body of Christ. And we're able to be a part of a family of God where we come together on a regular basis and worship and serve the Lord and grow in His Word. So if you're here today and you're subject to His invitation, we would like to invite you to come while we stand together and sing.